are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We're shaking things up a little bit on the program today. I almost feel as if I should be standing up right now since it is the opening of the program. But when you have the opportunity to have one of the best, if not the best, pound-for-pound fighter in the world in Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson live, then you take the opportunity. As Demetrius Johnson's on media roll right now in Houston, Texas. Super Bowl 51, the countdown is on. Of course, the UFC is holding an event in Houston, Texas on Saturday night, UFC Fight Night 104. Mighty Mouse not on the card, but he's there on media row promoting the UFC, talking video games, talking Super Bowl, and everything else in between. So the champ, Mighty Mouse, Demetrius Johnson, will join us in a couple of minutes. Mike Cardano's going to join us. He's got 10 Super Bowl props that he likes, and we'll kickstart the program with Mr. Dave Malinsky. Pregame PhD, his daily column is over at pregame.com. We shook things up so we can spend more time with the Professor Malinsky. Dave, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
Actually, Gabe, you know how I'm doing because you've been here for Super Bowl weeks before. You know what this city becomes.
Well, it's in fact, you and I went out to lunch before Super Bowl 50 last year.
Yeah, I mean, people always say, oh, I want to go to the Super Bowl. I want to go to the Super Bowl. No, there's a better place to be than the game on Super Bowl. So, I mean, in fact, in truth, for anyone who's ever thought about plunking down for tickets, the worst place to be on Super Bowl Sunday is in the stadium. You miss way, way too much with all the coverage that's out there. But Vegas on Super Bowl weekend, it's a pretty special place to be.
No, it really is. It really is, Dave. So, speaking of which way do you expect, I guess the big bets are going to start to happen over the next couple of days. People are going to start to show up to Sin City. Which way do you think the line goes? Or do you think it just stays on the number three? The books seem pretty happy at three right now.
They do, because what they're seeing, big bets on both sides, and that's the key, is you don't want to have all the little bets one way, the big bets another, but when you can see big bets come in, and what they're seeing is if you go anywhere near 3.5, let's say, you know, if you could take Atlanta plus 3, even money or better, people will take Atlanta, but the minute that you get down to 3, even money, people will also bet New England. That lets them know they're sitting in a pretty safe spot.
Yeah, I think they're they enjoy this right now, because a lot of people in the media, a lot of people in the public seem to be kind of split on this. I did a Twitter poll yesterday, Dave. We got nearly 500 responses in the first couple of hours, actually. I didn't check this morning where it was at. It was pretty close, you know, like 500 votes, and it was like 53% said Pats minus 3. 47% of my followers were saying the Falcons plus the 3. So let's jump in right now. Let's talk about distractions. You and I talked about this, how the Falcons going to be able to handle the aura that is Super Bowl week. I find it interesting that it's not just Super Bowl media day right now that was normally on Wednesday. It's Super Bowl media opening night last night. So I guess, Dave, it's basically going to be 3-4 nights of chaos, or at least not tonight and then Wednesday again. They'll shut it down Thursday. I thought that was interesting, though. Just normally guys are only in that mode generally on Wednesday. In the old days, the Monday press conference was a serious one. You know, it wasn't the freak show with Jimmy Kimmel's and you know the dog from Conan O'Brien and all that stuff. But how about the Falcons getting a heroes parade on the way out of town? How about the fact that Kyle Shanahan's splitting? And how about the fact that Devontae Freeman is suddenly picking last night to complain about how much money that he makes? Any of this a distraction?
Freeman one is the only one that struck me because that timing was awkward. Players have known Shanahan was likely to be gone for a while. And keep in mind, even though this is new for most of the players, this is the third Super Bowl in 4 years for Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
So he can lay out a progression pretty well. Here's an interesting thing to talk about, though, Gabe, and we featured this in Point Blank on Monday. For all the Super Bowl experience the Patriots have, they haven't necessarily been that good in them. If you actually go back and break down the six games, they were favored by 14.5, which is about, 2.5 points a game. only outscored the opposition by six, so they underachieved on the scoreboard, but they've been outgained by 40 yards a game and outgained almost one full yard per play in those six Super Bowls. So even though they've got the experience, you know, they haven't necessarily been anything special. They've played well on Super Bowl Sunday, but they haven't played special on Super Bowl Sunday.
You're right, Dave. They were lucky to get the win against Seattle. Not lucky. They put themselves in a position to win. But obviously, if the Seahawks run the ball, then we're talking about a different legacy of the New England Patriots right now. 14-point underdogs in their first Super Bowl win against the Rams. You know, they won by three. 7-point favorites against the Panthers, 2003. Last time it was in Houston, Texas. They won by three. 7-point favorites against the Philadelphia Eagles 2 years after that. They won by three. 12.5-point favorites to the New York Giants. They lost outright. 2.5-point favorites to the New York Giants. They lost outright. They beat the Seattle Seahawks as a pick 'em. I'm not a mathematician, Dave, but my math tells me that Tom Brady is 0-4 against the spread as a favorite in the Super Bowl.
That's pretty much the way it adds up.
Yeah. But without being stated, they also, this number is three. So are Atlanta Falcon teasers in play here, Dave? Because I got to tell you, and I'm generally an over or nothing better, but I think this number is just a little bit high. I keep on landing around 54, 55, 56 in that range. I think you're comfortable if you take a 7-point teaser over 51.5 or so. I think 58.5 could be a sweatshop, but I do like the Patriots in this game, but I also think that an Atlanta Falcon plus 10 over 51.5 7-point teaser is pretty attractive.
Yeah, because it's hard to see Atlanta being out of the game right now. When we talk about the Falcon offense, and it deserves all the credit they get, they were historically good this year. When we say that, it's measuring them against the league standard. They averaged 11 points a game, more than the league average, 1.2 yards per play, more than league average. Now, that's a big separation by itself. But then when you factor in the schedule, they face the number two slate of defenses this year. So when you look at how far above average they were, which was historic, then factor the schedule in, this is a really dynamic offense that you're not going to beat too easily. Yeah, New England can win the game. Can they get enough stops to break the game open and win in double figures? I don't know where those stops are going to come from.
Which way are you leaning right now, Dave? Pats or Falcons?
It's an inclination to take the three. And that one of the things that got built into this line, if you talk to the sharpest bookmakers out there, they say, look, if it was a regular season game on a neutral field, it's New England 1 or 1.5. Now, here's where the public, I think, has a difficulty. They move it to three because of the Brady-Belichick experience in Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with Belichick in the Super Bowl. In the regular season, he's going to outsmart just about everybody. If you're weak, he will expose your weaknesses. Well, why are these Super Bowls so close for New England? Because now you're playing teams that don't have weaknesses anymore. Belichick can scheme the heck out of a game against the Dolphins or against the Jets or the Bills. He can't scheme the heck out of a game against the Atlanta offense because there just isn't that much you can do with X's and O's anyway.
You know, it is such an interesting football game, this game. There are so many different angles that you can look at it, and you're right. You know, we can't dispute the Patriots have Super Bowl experience, but they haven't played great. The Falcons offense is historic, put up the eighth most points in NFL history. Matt Ryan, the fourth best quarterback rating in NFL history. But with that being stated, the Carolina Panthers offense was pretty damn good last year as well. The St. Louis Rams offense was pretty damn good with Kurt Warner that lost to the New England Patriots 20-17. You know, Dave, I don't know about you, but I feel as though you almost have to take a lot of the numbers in a regular season and even the playoff games with a grain of salt because of the Super Bowl. Strange stuff happens. Like, it's just you don't know how players are going to perform under this spotlight.
Yeah, there is that issue still with Matt Ryan. This is going to be new for him. He's got to hold up under the pressure. But part of what made Ryan so effective this year It's talent and scheme both. Ryan has only had to execute a lot of easy opportunities because their offense creates them. And you can even see that in the games against Seattle and Green Bay. They pop stuff wide open, combination of talent and tactics from the other skill positions. So I don't think there's as much pressure on Ryan as might be perceived, because he doesn't have to play great. He just has to execute what's going to be available. There's going to be a lot available.
Dave, in our remaining moments, let's talk about some of these props. I know you had an opportunity to break them down. It's interesting because of such a high total, a lot of the offensive player props are shaded a little bit higher than they normally would be. Could be some opportunities for some unders. I'm trying to find some more, not the silly obscure props, but some ones that are sort of flying under the radar. LeGarrette Blount over under rushing attempts has been an interesting one, but it's so difficult to gauge what Belichick's going to do at the best of times, and in considering how he uses his backfield, you don't know, man. Deion Lewis, White, Blount, a very interesting dynamic there. And Devontae Freeman, his over-under for rushing attempts, 14.5, and it's interesting, Dave, he rushed the ball exactly 14 times against the Seahawks and 14 times against the Packers. Any props catch your eye? What do you like as far as props are concerned?
Yeah, one, we'll say there should be a caution on most New England player props, because game to game, you don't know the New England game plan. They are so opponent specific. Give you the best example there could be on that. During the regular season, they used a formation with a running back and no tight ends 10 times. That was it. 10 times all year. They used that formation 19 times against Pittsburgh. So they can draw something up, so it's tough to prop them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on a game I think stays close, because I don't see a lot of punts, and also both teams are so good on offense, they don't turn the ball over a lot. So let's talk about things like, will the biggest score be over 16.5, which you can find at Pick'em? I don't think that margin gets out there. Probably take the underdog on the prop. Will there be three consecutive scores? We'll say that there won't be, because again, I don't think we see the defensive stops or the offense is giving the ball up with mistakes. I think it starts close. I think it stays close.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting prop right there, Dave, because generally I used to get burnt with that. Oh, it's got to be a close game. In college, you're going to lose that bet. There are three scores in a row often in college for a particular team, but it doesn't feel as if either team's really going to pull away. In fact, the Patriots haven't pulled away from anybody in a Super Bowl, as we discussed a few minutes ago. I believe, Dave, that this is, you know, it takes balls to do it, but I'm taking a look at the under 13.5 in the first quarter. That's two touchdowns, man. That's two touchdowns right there, Dave. And also the old tested one. Will there be more points in the first or the second? I got to believe more in the second. We got less than a minute, Dave.
I agree with your thinking on the second, as long as the game stays close, because where it's in the past, when games have broken open, that's when the second half slowed down. I think this time the tempo stays high all the way through.
Dave Malinsky with us. Dave, it's always a pleasure. I know it's a crazy week in Vegas, and enjoy yourself. I wish I was there, but maybe next year.
it's not Super Bowl weekend without you, Gabe.
Yeah, I know. That's what the odds makers are going to say. You're going to see the overall budget intake from the Super Bowl, Dave's going to be about $10,000 less because I'm not there.
We miss you. We also miss your money.
Yeah, they're crying. They're crying at the Trop that I'm not going to be there. Thanks, Dave. There's Dave Malinsky with us. Right, Mike Cardano's going to join us. We're going to get his prop picks. We got Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson coming up next. Game Time Decisions continues live on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up for the Super Bowl, and I'm also fired up for the UFC Fight Night 104. I was going to say we're joined by one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, but anybody that follows the UFC is aware the two most dominant fighters in the company have been John Jones and Demetrius Johnson, and considering John Jones hasn't fought in a hell of a long time, I don't think Mighty Mouse is one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. We'll say he is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. And he's moving on some historic numbers to prove it. Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson, UFC flyweight champion, joins us from Houston, Texas, Super Bowl 51 Media Row. Mighty Mouse, man, thanks for joing us, man. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, so listen, you've been to a lot of big media events, UFC fan expos and all that stuff. I've been to Super Bowl Media Row and it's freaking massive. It's huge. It's like a freak show. What's it like, man?
You know, it's pretty big. Obviously, it's probably the biggest media row I've ever been to. You know, obviously, the UFC, they don't have nearly as much media as the NFL that covers the sport. But it's pretty crazy out here.
Are you an NFL fan at all? I know. Do you follow the Seahawks? Are you a Seahawk guy? Do you watch the NFL?
Yeah, I watch the NFL. I follow Seahawks, Green Bay, you know, all the teams.
Now, we know you're a big video game guy, and you're starting to be known for your Twitch videos. I love the one when they showed up, they wanted you to piss in a cup.
Right?
You're playing it. They're like, no, you can't film this. I'm thinking, why not? You know, you're in my home. I should be able to film whatever the hell I want to film. But do you ever play, I know you're more of a first person type of game, but you ever play like Madden football or any of that stuff?
You know what? I have not, but somebody said I should try it, so I'm going to have to give it a try one of these days.
Yeah, man. No one would be quicker on the joystick than you, man. your skills in the cage translates to the control as well. So you're in Houston, Texas, not for the Super Bowl, but UFC Fight Night 104. The Korean Zombie returns, takes on Bermudez. Bermudez versus Matt Grice, one of the best fights that I ever saw. Korean Zombie versus Leonard Garcia, one of the best fights I ever saw. So I figure if you put these two guys together, it should be pretty freaking epic.
Early morning. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I mean, Korean Zombie coming up 2 years, military service for Korea. Jennison Reno teaches at B. So, I mean, this matchup right here, this show is nothing but fireworks.
Now, looking back at your career, Mighty Mouse, there hasn't been like really, really prolonged periods in recent times, you know, in between fights. But the Korean Zombie hasn't fought, man, since like 2013 or so. It's been a hell of a long time. Do you buy into the ring rust? Some guys say ring rust isn't true, and other guys say no, ring rust is real. What's your take on ring rust and cage rust?
I think it's real because it's not like cage rust. It's just, you know, the mentality, not the mentality, but the mental part of getting in the ring. If a person is mentally strong, then they should be able to overcome it. But, you know, at the same time, he's gone since 2013, as you said. That's a long time away from the cage. So we'll see what happens.
Now, you defended the title 9 times right now, tied with George St. Pierre. Anderson did it 10 times. Does it bother you at all that people are always saying, you know, you should fight that guy, you should fight this guy, you should leave your weight class when you're trying to set all-time records here, and people should just kick back and go, wow, this guy's a freaking machine, it's on the verge of history. Does it bother you, or do you understand it?
I understand it bothers me more than I understand it. You know, I think you look at all the greatest athletes in the world, you know, Mayweather, I mean, he set a record. He tied it, actually, and I'm sure he's going to break it when he's ready to. You look at Usain Bolt, the fastest ever man to run. You know, he has the 100 and 200 meter on lock. Nobody's going to told him to go run a 400 meter dash or a mile. So I'm more advised of that, just breaking history and making history.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. It's like asking Pavarotti to rap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, you're a great opera singer. Why don't you rap? And I remember with Jordan Burroughs, you know, always asked, are you going to get an MMA? Are you going to get an MMA? And he said, no, I'm a wrestler. You know, just because you guys want me to do this. He said, I am one of the greatest wrestlers. This is my field, and this is what I do. But, you know, you've cleaned out the division and then some. But there's a couple of guys still on the list right now. Formiga, Wilson Reese as well. When are we going to see a fight again, and who do you think you're going to fight against? Come on, man, you're the champ, so I guess, do you call your shots now, or do you wait for the call to come to you?
I would put a call to come to me, but I do pick and choose the dates I want to fight. And I think, you know, right now everything's going pretty well. My training, May 13th, UFC 211 here in Dallas, Texas. Hoping I can make that card. They got Junior Dos Santos taking a Stipe Miocic right now. I hope I can be in the co-main event, and we'll see what happens. The fight's going to be healthy to go.
Really? I see. You're hoping to get on UFC 211. Good stuff. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, I have so much respect for your trainer and Matt Hume and what you guys have done. Everyone talks about all the, you know, the big name gyms, and you got all these fighters there, and it seems like a lot of names, and there's always a lot of drama, as we see, like right now with the Black Zillions and stuff. You guys are more low profile, go about your business. You know, tell us about the relationship that you have with Hume, and why it's so successful.
Yeah, me and Matt Hume have a great relationship. You know, I've been with him since the very beginning of my amateur career and my professional career. And Matt's not out there to make big noise, you know, with drama or try to grab all the best fighters around the world underneath the umbrella. He likes homegrown talent, homegrown athletes, and I respect him for that. And we understand one another. You know, he doesn't, you know, he asks me what do I think, and I get my honest opinion, and he gets me his honest opinion, and we work together.
Do you think it's helped you, you know, working in a small format? Because I got to imagine you've gotten a lot of invites over the years, right? Oh, come on, Demetrius, you got to come down to this gym and roll with us, right? Have you turned down a lot of invites over the years? Do you feel it's better for you to be in a more isolated situation?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. I have never got any invites to train in any gyms. You know, obviously, Rafael Guerrero, Kings MMA, they invited me out there just in case if I'm ever out in California. They're like, yeah, just come by me and we'll take care of you. Other than that, you know, I think I was pretty vocal about it. Like, you know, I am with AMC and I'll never leave this place, whether I want to lose a streak or not. You know, this is my home. It's where I first started, and I'll never leave it.
All right. So, hey, before we get you out of here, so you're hoping for for UFC 211. You're only 30 years old right now, man. You've been on a dominant freaking run. How much gas do you have left in the tank? How much longer do you picture yourself fighting?
I got a lot of gas left in the tank, man. I'm thinking maybe 35 more years. We'll see. It's all predicated on my body. I mean, I love this sport. I mean, you think you ask any NFL player out there who's been in this sport for 10, 15 years, they're like, man, as long as my body is there, I'll keep on going. So I think it's more on the same lines for me, too.
Yeah, you're so freaking fast, man. You're not taking a beating either. Like, it helps. That's part of the game, right? Not getting hit, too.
Exactly.
Hey, Mighty Mouse, we'll let you get back to the circus that is Media Row down there in Houston, Texas. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, and hopefully we see a fight in Dallas, UFC 211, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
There's Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson with us. And as I stated, you know, moving in on his historic stuff, Anderson Silva defended the title 10 times. I don't think, you know, we can dispute that John Jones. To me, John Jones is the best MMA fighter ever. You know, he hasn't lost. The only person that's ever defeated John Jones is John Jones. You know, that Matt Hamill fight, that doesn't count. But Mighty Mouse doesn't really get the respect. And, you know, I think the thing is, people always want to move up. What's he going to do? He's going to move up and fight Cody Garbrandt? You know, like, the guy's got a good thing going. If you own a division, I wouldn't really be in a hurry to move anyways. It's a different situation for Mighty Mouse than it is for a guy like Conor McGregor. Just be like, oh, look at Conor. He's going up and down. Conor doesn't give a crap about whether he wins or loses. All right? Conor doesn't care. You know, Conor's making $5 million and stuff. Mighty Mouse would get asked to move up and make, you know, $500,000. So it's a little bit different, situation. All right, we got Mike Cardano, and don't worry, people. I still have a rant to get to as well. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, and I got to believe that Mike Cardano's answers will be a little bit longer than Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson's answers were. Mighty Mouse's interviews are like his fights. They're fast. he's moving around quickly. He's got a fast interview game as well. Right. So let's get to some props right now. Mike Cardano, Fantasy Sports Network's very own, joins us. What's up, Mike?
I can just hold up yes or no cards. Is that work?
Yeah, that would actually be all right. Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. Just one after another. Take a while. I don't know if we have the budget, actually, for all those cards. It's a lot of cards and Sharpies, Mike.
That's true.
It's a lot of, yeah. Trust me, the props, you know, we're doing the best we can here. Yeah, look, I got a damn Tennessee Titan helmet here. They're not even in the Super Bowl, Mike.
Look what I got. I got a Patriots helmet here. How about that?
That's great. Good stuff.
Old school.
All right, so let's get to your props, and we'll save your game pick for last. So we'll start off with the props, and I always like, well, who's your bookie? Danny Sheridan? You always got like the USA Today numbers. I'm like, Mike's got a total of 57.5. I'm thinking 57.5. It's 58.5. And a little bit. I haven't seen a 57.5 anywhere, but it's up to 58.5 right now, Mike. Over under for the game itself.
We gonna squabble over a point here, Gabe?
Yeah, you know, that's it's like we're gonna squabble over a dollar. Yes,
under game.
All right, so yeah, you think it's you know, I tell you, there's been 9 Super Bowls, Mike, in which the total was listed at 50 or higher. It's 6-3 to the under.
Well, a couple of things. One, with the Patriots, you can go up and down between the 20s all you want. You can't get in the end zone. So the best at doing that. So I'm not going to say that Falcons aren't going to get in the end zone, but they're not going to be getting in the end zone at will like they've been doing previously. And I saw enough of Vic Beasley last week to think that he's going to be a difference maker here. And I think that the score is going to be a little more subdued than people would ordinarily think.
All right, so I did some research on this one. Will a kicker miss an extra point in the Super Bowl? Yes or no?
I'm thinking yes. Why the hell not? You know, the difference between 46 yards or 43 yards? What's the extra point?
It's 37.
37, same thing. So the difference between that field goal and the extra point has been dramatic during the season. I don't know why. When people kick from that yardage as a field goal, the percentage is a lot higher than the extra point. Now, Gostkowski, he's been shaky on extra points all year, and Bryant hasn't missed one all season, but he's doing, you know, this is a Super Bowl. They cramp up. They get to the ball early. They put their foot in the wrong place. I'm thinking, and especially if you think there's going to be a lot of scoring, Gabe, there's more opportunities to miss one. I'm thinking somebody misses one.
No, it's interesting. Gostkowski missed 3 on the season, 46 of 49. He missed 1 in the playoff game. I think it was against the Texans. And there are a couple of barely went in. Bryant's actually missed 1 in 2 playoff games as well. Bryant's been money during the regular season, but he did, you know, I could see it as well. It's not automatic. You're right. It's weird because a 37-yard field goal, they automatically drill it. And then for some reason, the extra points always just sail and barely get through. All right, so there's a prop out there. Will there be a coach's challenge over under 1? That's a good number at 1 because it's going to be at least 1. The question is, I've seen it offshore 1.5 at some places. I think there will be some coach's challenges because the referees suck and everything's always in dispute nowadays. Is it a catch? Is he down? We argue about everything now, Mike, that we didn't used to argue about with the rules of football. I say there'll probably be multiple challenges.
Well, I agree. If you're seriously going to actually play this prop, you have the advantage of a push at 1. So I can't see not taking the 1.
And I knew you'd find a way to get a dildo prop into the conversation. Will a fan throw an object onto the field? I'm surprised USA Today printed dildo.
Well, listen, it's happened. You're lucky I didn't send you the picture.
Yeah, it happened. Where did it happen? Of course, in Buffalo.
Well, it is what it is. You know?
Yeah, I got a good idea for the dildo and Rex Ryan right about now, but that's besides the point. You see, Rex is telling the Bills off, huh? He told us to go F ourselves. You telling us to go F ourselves?
Don't take it personally,
you
Dave.
Stupid buffoon. You punked to the Miami Dolphins. We could have went to the playoffs. You're telling us to go screw ourselves?
What is he going to do with that tattoo? He got a color change from the Jets to the Bills colors. What is he going to do now?
Well, I don't know. He should leave it to remember when he was an NFL coach because he'll never be one again. Fans throw object onto the field.
Deflated football.
I agree. At 19-1, it could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the things you could probably get into. If somebody's walking in with a flare at 15-1, I'm thinking they stop you, no?
No, that's exactly right. How the hell are you getting a flare into the stadium? Yeah, dildo. I don't know. Like, if you're a woman, you got a dildo in your purse. It's a legal product. They can't take it away from you.
They can't confiscate it. Well, listen, they wouldn't confiscate it from you if you were walking into each his own. You know, I mean, it is what it is.
Exactly. It's, you know what I mean. It's one of those embarrassing airport moments. A dead falcon. talking? Like, who made this list? Like, Marilyn Manson? What odds maker made this? Dildos, flares, dead falcons? Like, why did they just say, well, someone gets shot during the game?
At 300-1, it's not a bad deal. You could do it Ozzy Osbourne, you bite the head and you chuck it, you know?
You know, hey, at 300-1, if I can get $1,000 on a bet, I'll bring a dead falcon to the game.
Well, there's no word on whether it has to be dead when it's thrown or dead when it lands.
No, there's a prop. Will somebody run on the field to play? It's plus 1,500.
It's Super Bowl. Too much security, I think.
You're right. And anyone that close spent too much money on their tickets. Somebody with $8,000 for a Super Bowl ticket's not running on the field. Yeah. All right. References to Michael Vick, over under 1.5. I say they mention him once.
I think the storyline is too easy. It just gets mentioned casually, and then somewhere along the line, they're going to bring up that Ryan took his place and replaced him. So I think you go over 1.5.
Yeah, you know, the problem with this is they could say, you know, he replaced Michael Vick. That's one. And I guess if they won the Super Bowl, it would come up again, maybe. And Matt Ryan replaced Michael Vick, you know, but that's not an automatic. All right, Super Bowl most valuable player. Quarterback's been the MVP 5 of the last 7 Super Bowls. Quarterback's been MVP 7 of the last 10 Super Bowls. Defensive players have won 2 of the last 3 MVPs.
You know, my mind somehow is still stuck on the last thing. You had the puppy Super Bowl guy on yesterday, referee. What do you think you get Michael Vick to go and moderate and ref that thing?
That's low-hanging fruit. I know, yeah, the puppy pull. I don't expect Michael Vick to be the honorary coin tosser. Hey, dogs will all run away. They know. He killed their buddies.
Yeah, you know, the defensive players, the only defensive player that I'm really looking at either side is Vic Beasley. And I don't know. The defensive players in terms of being named MVP happened last year. It doesn't happen often. This is going to be, even if it's lower scoring than we think, there's going to be quite a bit of offense here. So I would think it wouldn't be a defensive player.
Yeah, and also as well, if you think, Mike, both the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons both turned the ball over the least this year. They tied. They both only turned it over 11 times. And, you know, I was looking back, defensive winners, generally it's multiple turnovers. You know, you get 2 interceptions, Von Miller creating a fumble, creating, you know, the sack, getting the fumble himself, etc. Turnovers could be at a premium and few and far between in this football game. You know, and it's interesting too, I've talked about this, I talk about this every year, but you know, look, if you like the New England Patriots, most likely Tom Brady is going to be the MVP. You can get him at minus 120 as opposed to minus 150 Patriots money line. And if you think that the Falcons are going to win the game, Matt Ryan's going to be the MVP. And you can get Matt Ryan to be MVP as high as plus 180, which is much higher than the money line, Mike, actually. It's something to consider if you're playing the money lines in these games.
Yeah, that is something to consider. I tell you what, though, in terms of looking at picking the MVPs, I like the running backs, actually, because everybody's focused on the quarterbacks and the receivers. I like Deion Lewis from the Patriots standpoint, and I like both running backs from Atlanta. Those guys run the ball like it's nobody's business. You know, if you take their stats and combine them, they're the best running back in football, both running and receiving. So, you know, it remains to be seen if it's split so much that neither one does quite enough to be named the MVP or they can get co-MVPs. But it wouldn't shock me if one of those three running backs, I think Lewis more so than LeGarrette Blount, only because we saw when they unleashed him in the passing game what he can do, and he's healthy now. So I would look at the odds on one of those three players, Coleman or Deion Lewis, and go that way.
You know what's amazing? Devontae Freeman's salary, what he's going to make next year?
What's that?
$690,000.
That's not even as much as you.
Yeah. 600, if you add up my entire career, $690,000. I'm just thinking the Buffalo Bills, we paid $1 million to Percy Harvin. We gave $1.5 million to Reggie Bush for negative 3 yards. Devontae Freeman for $690,000. But by the way, he's not happy with the $690,000. And I think it's interesting. He picked last night to bitch about this, which, you know, normally teams teams win the Super Bowl, and that's when everyone's like, all right, I'm gone. Hey, you guys get, I want a lot of money, and I don't even care if I get it somewhere else. Freeman's not even waiting for the Super Bowl, Mike. Freeman's already talking about how he better get paid.
I get it, but I can't stand when people sign contracts and then complain about it. He was happy the day, I guarantee you, the day he signed the contract, him and his posse had a party. You know what I mean? So today, it doesn't look so good. So, you know, whatever it is.
You know, he's got 1 year left, too. Like, basically, he's hinting it's not going to be cool if the Falcons make him play for $690 next year.
Where else is he going to get a job doing what, paying him $690?
Well, the Falcons don't want to upset him. They said we're going to talk after the Super Bowl. But like I said, it was just weird timing last night. And he was cool about it. But then his agent was also holding court and bitching about it as well. So there's,
you know, what? I don't like the aggressiveness. Hope he breaks his leg and nothing. He gets nothing.
I assume you're betting on the Patriots then, right? Because, you know, you're not taking, if you bet
that's
on the,
all right. There's two running backs. Coleman will pick.
Yeah, exactly. You know what a prop I like, Mike, is? How many Atlanta Falcon players will break their leg? Yeah, no, I'm kidding. How many Atlanta Falcon players will have a rushing attempt in the game? How many Falcon players will have a rushing attempt?
I'm going to say five, because you got Sanu, you got Gabriel. They'll probably both get one each.
Yeah, Ryan, Coleman, and Freeman.
Yeah, I'm going to go five.
It's 3.5, the bet. I think it goes over.
Over.
You know, there was five. They had five guys get rushing attempts against the Packers. It's Kyle Shanahan's last game with the Falcons. It's the freaking Super Bowl. You're telling me they're not going to run a reverse or two and do some weird stuff? They might run a shock. They might run a wildcat with Julio Jones for all we know. Like, they're going to do something weird. I think it gets there. All right. Odds that a kicker, a punt is returned for a touchdown, plus 1,300.
Hey, Gabe, there have been a lot of returns for touchdowns in the Super Bowl. The longest play in history is touchdown was a kickoff return.
Desmond Howard had two of them in that game, didn't he?
No, I don't think he had two. But you know,
Howard had two.
Giants Ravens had one right after the other.
Look
right?
It up in the booth if you can. Just look up Desmond.
Think so.
Yeah, he did.
Watching.
Desmond Howard with the Green Bay Packers against the New England Patriots. He was the MVP.
He scored two on returns?
I believe he scored two on returns. If we look it up, what year was that? It was like 1997 or 98?
96.
All right. How many touchdowns did he have, camera one?
I thought just one, but I'll look it up.
All right, we'll move on while we get the answer. Okay, so you're saying yes at plus 1,300?
Yes, I'm taking it.
All right. Deflategate mentions over-under.
You don't like that? You don't like that?
Well, it's worth a stab at plus 1,300.
Yeah.
Or worth an OJ. yeah, 1,300, you're right. The Pats had a kick return against the Texans a couple of weeks ago. It was Deion Lewis.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids. You know what? Listen, a lot of times they take some of the more high-profile players that didn't play on special teams all year, and they stick them on there. It's the last game of the year. It's the most crucial time. They're not used to it. And the other thing is, people panic, right? They're in the Super Bowl. They're going down to cover and a kick. They're not staying in their lane. They want to make a play or whatever, and there you go.
All right, what's going on here, Mikey? So what's the box score?
I think
we got two guys here. We got like eight guys in a booth, and we can't get an answer of how many damn touchdowns Desmond Howard had in a Super Bowl.
You know,
he's the MVP.
Talking.
Look at Desmond Howard, Super Bowl MVP. 99-yard
return.
I think it was one game.
There was two. I'm telling you. might have been a punt too. All right.
You know, I'm thinking now, broken leg. You remember Tim Crumry?
What's that?
Remember Tim Crumry?
Yeah, punt return and a kickoff return. Thank you very much.
All right, so you split the baby.
Two. All right, Deflategate mentions. Over, under, 4.5.
Under. It's old news.
Yeah. They'll mention it once or twice. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're off the top. They're motivated by it. And then at the end, if they win, they get it. All right. Over-under commercials parodying Donald Trump. I don't think there's going to be any. Dude's a dictator. He'll have you shot or deported.
I'm going to say that there's going to be. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over. It's too easy. It's too easy.
Yeah. All right. And finally, in closing, who wins the game?
I'm going to say the Falcons are going to win this game.
It's going to be hard if Devontae Freeman breaks his leg like you want.
I love that dynamic duo running back there, catching the ball and receiving the ball out of the backfield. You know, Belichick always takes away your best guy. So look for Julio Jones for them to try to take him away. I don't know how well they'll do at it, but they're going to be focused on that. And you have those two guys out of the backfield. I think Sanu has a pretty exceptional game. I don't know what Gabriel does as well. It's not like the Patriots aren't going to move the ball as well. I don't think it's going to be quite as high scoring as everybody thinks. I'm going to say 27-24.
27-24 Falcons. I haven't locked in my final score yet, and I've been bouncing around with this game a lot, and that's never a good sign. But I'm feeling 30-24 Patriots.
You're going with the Don.
I hate them. I hate them. I don't want to bet on them. And in fact, you know what's crazy? I bet against them in all six Super Bowls. They've been in with Brady. I bet against them every damn game. I look back every game. And I'm 4-2. You know, Brady's 0-4 as a favorite in the Super Bowl against the spread.
Did you tell all that to his dad when you had him on?
I said that I've said some things about your dad. I said, but I'm a Bills fan. You know, and your son upsets me, but it's just because I'm a Bills fan. And I actually thought of you saying you hope Brady broke his leg. It seems to be your go-to thing. You're like Tonya Harding. All right, we got to get out of here, Mike.
All right, take care.
All right. Now they're saying one touchdown?
Yeah, 90 yards punt return, though.
90-yard punt return. What was the?
Yeah, 155.
Okay, so it was a 99-yard kickoff return and a 90-yard punt return, but it wasn't for a touchdown?
90 yards.
You guys are just confusing me. Like, holy crap, man. Like, seriously, I don't know why I ask anybody anything. We'll come back with our rant of the day next, talking about these bozos. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does Super Bowl 51's countdown. Super Bowl Media Week has begun. The circus used to be known as Media Day, but the National Football League decided to up the ante this year and turn it into Media Week. And last night was opening night. Now, normally the players only have to deal with the craziness and the chaos of taking questions from the Jimmy Kimmel Show and comedians just once, but they're going to have to do it numerous times throughout the week. In all sincerity, I actually think it's going to be a distraction for the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcon players had their cameras out. They were soaking up the moment. They're dancing around. They're having a lot of fun. The Patriots were all business, and I expect this theme to continue throughout the week, but that's besides the point. Now, we live in a politically correct, soft-ass, candy-ass world right now, and unfortunately, it's trickled down to the sports and media. Everything's a freaking controversy now. People wake up just hoping that somebody says something stupid so they can say something stupid and rip them on Twitter, and then people can rip them on Twitter. There's always the outrage, the fake outrage, and then the outrage about the outrage. But as I stated, it's been a pretty slow night. The biggest story of the night, God forbid Martellus Bennett said that he wouldn't go meet Donald Trump at the White House if the New England Patriots win the game. And I'm sure right now a lot of Trump bites are thinking, screw you, Bennett, I hope you get your leg broken, and the Falcons win the football game. The biggest Falcon controversy last night was Devontae Freeman talking about how he's underpaid, and his agent holding court stating that he only makes $690,000 next year, and he's got to get paid. Normally, players wait till they actually win the damn Super Bowl before they start complaining about how much they want, but hey, Freeman didn't wait, but much ado about nothing. Now, as somebody that's getting a little bit older, I often say, and I often find myself saying, you know what? You know, they don't make them like they used to. In my day, I remember. And unfortunately, I'm going to sound like Clint Eastwood right now in Gran Torino. Get the hell off my lawn. In my day, a Super Bowl controversy wasn't that a tight end doesn't want to go to the White House. In my day, controversies were real. Now, the last time the Atlanta Falcons played in the Super Bowl. They only played once in the Super Bowl. And incidentally, both times the head coach first name was Dan. So it'll be interesting to see if, like last time, somebody gets arrested on the Atlanta Falcons for soliciting a hooker the night before the Super Bowl, like Eugene Robinson did at the time. Now, the craziest part about this was he actually received the Bart Starr Award for being the Community Humanitarian of the Year in the National Football League. It's like George Costanza's old man. He wins. He gets the award, and then they rolled in. You know, you're parked in a handicap spot for all of the work that he did for charity. So, yeah, Eugene Robinson, poor bastard, gets the humanitarian award, best guy in the league, and then gets nailed with a hooker a couple of hours later. And, yes, the Atlanta Falcons went on to lose that football game to the Denver Broncos. What's crazy about it, and I was reading about this early this morning, as I was thinking about this, is, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, there was an unnamed Falcon player who said, you know, it's not Eugene's fault. He said, we were all going there all week. He was the only one that got caught. And speaking of Super Bowl scandals, a real scandal, how about a player smoking some cocaine in the hotel the night before the game? I guess Stanley Wilson was feeling a little nervous before the Super Bowl when they were taking on the San Francisco 49ers on Saturday night in the team hotel. They had their final team meeting, and they actually handed out like the plays and a script for the game and everything like that. And coaches realized, they're like, where the hell's our running back? Where's Stanley Wilson? Well, they go up to Stanley Wilson's room. He's in his room, but he's higher than Richard Pryor. He's like freaking out, man. He's all coked up and shaking and freaking out and stuff like that. Well, they didn't play him the next day, and they ended up losing the football game. Now, I've been to Super Bowls before. I remember I was in the Super Bowl when the Steelers played the Seahawks, and I'll tell you what, Big Ben Roethlisberger got wasted like pretty much every night, was rolling into the hotel at like 3 a.m. The Steelers won the football game. The Buffalo Bills lost four Super Bowls in a row. They used to party their asses off all the time, and they lost 4 years in a row. Hey, the Raiders played the Eagles in New Orleans years ago, and it was a great story. The Eagle players saw the Raiders fighting with each other on Bourbon Street and like lying in the gutter and puking and stuff, and they're like, oh, we got these guys beat. The Raiders kicked the crap out of them. Moral of the story, you know, Super Bowl scandals, they ain't what they used to be. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, you know what? I really like my plays today. I think we're going to have a big night tonight. I'm kicking it old school, a little Johnny Square public money line parlay. The Washington Wizards, these guys have won, what, 14, 15 games? I think they're going for the 15th win in a row at home tonight. Houston Rockets are hosting a Sacramento Kings team playing the 8th game of an 8-game road trip, man. It's been a killer run for the Kings. They're in a bad scheduling spot, and Oklahoma City are in a bad scheduling spot. They're always. They play every 2 days against a tough team on national television, it seems. Spurs get it done. They don't lose 3 games in a row. Moneyline parlay minus 140. I like the Nuggets. Nuggets playing great ball. The Lakers are not. I like the Nuggets. We'll lay the 3 points here. College basketball. Wake Forest are 8-2 against the spread in the last 10 basketball. Boston College hosting Wake Forest. Boston College are 8-2 against the spread in their last 10 games. Iowa State, West Virginia over the number. West Virginia, one of the highest scoring teams in college basketball. Iowa State can light it up as well. Boise State and Colorado State. I like the Rams to get it done on their home court tonight. They're 8-2 against the spread in their last 10. Wyoming getting 10 is too high against San Diego State, and the LA Kings in the NHL made a winners be yours.